Our mission here on the Sports Free Agent Podcast is to connect people with their first or next opportunity within the sports industry. We challenge the normal. Think of this as the new resume, a podcast episode which provides insight into individuals on their values, their experiences, and insight into who they really are. We challenge the normal way of doing a job search and hiring process. We're building a database to showcase your next future star employee on our website at www.sportsasajob.com. We flip the roles, so no longer do people get lost in the search, but they get found. Welcome to the Sports Free Agent Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Sports Free Agent Podcast. I have another guest for all of you listeners here today, so if you could please introduce yourself to everybody listening right now.
Hello, everyone. My name is Mickey Marshall. I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. I've been working in sports production for, let's say, about 15 years now, mostly on the technical studio side. I've worked as a camera operator, a teleprompter operator, stage manager. I've worked in utility. I've been a runner. I have done it all in sports production.
And 15 years, I mean, 15 years to anything, a commitment like that to any field or just anything in general, that's a very long commitment. I mean, where did your passion start to get yourself into this kind of thing?
Well, I always loved sports ever since I was a little girl. Never played them, always wanted to. My mom was very, you know, dead set on having like a girly girl, so we did ballet, we did dance, we did cheerleading and all those things, which I loved. And the plus is that, yeah, you were there at games and you love sports. And then on the other side, my father actually works in television production as well, also on the sports side. So one of his main gigs growing up and still to this day was NASCAR. So I could talk about NASCAR all day. I know all about that as well. But yeah, going, being able to go to games like with my dad and see what he does in front of the scene, behind the scenes. He's also been a camera operator throughout his life, a director as well, was kind of set the seed. So I always knew I wanted to do something as far as sports, bringing the story home to the audiences. It's evolved from wanting to be a photographer to wanting to be a director myself. So I went to the University of Miami. I got my degree in video film, which is not a program I believe they have currently, but at the time it was basically a television and film production course. From there, and side note, I picked the University of Miami because I love the football team. The year I got accepted there was the year they won their last national championship, so it was an exciting time to be down there. It was a sports lover's dream. I graduated from there and immediately kind of started working in the industry. Like I said, being a utility at the Georgia Dome at the time where the Falcons played, and kind of picked up other gigs from there, you know, starting real at the lower level. And if anyone's not aware, a utility is that person that kind of assists the camera operator, usually a handheld camera op, a very technical, hands-on, very grueling. I mean, you're at the bottom of the totem pole, but it's a really good training ground on the ins and outs and what to do. So you learn the camera, you learn the equipment, you're carrying heavy things. You're carrying, like, you know, 100, 250 feet cable. You're crawling on the ground. You're working out in the elements, in the rain, in the dirt, in the mud, in the sun, in the heat, year-round. So it's really kind of like a brutal way to start, but it really takes the veneer off on show business. And you really decide right then and there if this is something that you would like to do. And there you also build a lot of relationships. You really kind of learn who you are inside, like what kind of worker you are. And I found that a lot of people who had a lot of influence and relationships, if they see you getting down there and getting your hands dirty and grinding it out, then they want to keep you close. And so working those little jobs, right, paid little money. I remember I would get checks for $60, you know, like $60 a week, and I was so excited. Hopefully they're not still paying that little, but it's probably a good chance they may be. You know, going from there and then someone calling and like, hey, can you do this job over here? They need somebody. Can you be there today? Can you be there tomorrow? And being flexible. So I have always worked as a freelancer throughout my career. Most of it is by choice. Some of it is maybe 2 years, a year or so after I graduated college, the 2008 recession happened. So the industry changed, the workforce changed, the structure of companies changed. So being a salaried staff employee wasn't an option for myself and for a lot of people. But the appeal of being a freelancer all this time was being able to take whichever job I wanted to take, working as much or as little as I wanted to, being able to, you know, work for this company on Monday and work for this company on Wednesday, and really being able to like grow my like sphere of influence and meet all types of people, being able to travel, like hop in the car. Sure, I'll work in Charlotte or I'll work in, you know, in Nashville. I'll go, I'll hop in. Sure, it's a 3-hour drive, I'll take it. So it's a lot of risk, but it's a lot of great reward as well. You kind of feel really proud at like a job well done, because you put your faith in yourself. You bet on yourself, and you get to see that payoff.
Now, one of the interesting things you said, because you got insight from when you were young, because your dad was working in the sports industry.
Yes.
And from your own experiences, right, you mentioned the $60 paychecks and getting that low pay and that grueling work. Was there ever resistance from your dad saying, I don't want you to get into the sports industry, I want you to do something else, maybe a little more stable in a way?
You know, not in that way. I think he was always like real excited for me and real proud of me. I think if there was any resistance or friction, it would be maybe like work styles. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said, like always a girly girl, you know, I'd show up to work in the mud and in the rain, full face of makeup, you know, nails done, nice shoes. You know, I knew what I was getting into, but you know, he just, you know, in his mind, you know, old school, there's not a lot of women in that industry, you know. He would see me, or he would hear people discuss me, and he would see it as like, oh, I wasn't taking it as serious, and it was like, well, no, that's not the case. Me wearing a face full of makeup doesn't hinder any physical activity that I can do. And you know, he's probably coming from a protective, mm-hmm. you know, stance. Like, this is a young woman, you know, going into a male dominated industry. And if she expresses any weakness, you know, a lot of times femininity is seen as a weakness for people, then that would open her up to, you know, mistreatment. Mm-hmm. And so it just kind of took me sticking to my guns. Like, I feel better, I work better if I like myself. You know, this is where I find my comfort. This is where I can kind of dig in and groove if I'm staying true to myself. So that was kind of like at the beginning. And then, of course, like, you know, our careers have diverged. You know, in the beginning, I was dependent on him and his contacts and, you know, him stamping me. And then after a while, kind of like, made my own lane for myself. And right now, today, he's very proud of me.
Yeah. And you entered the workforce, and like you said, in 2008 when the recession hit. And then you're saying that you were doing this grueling work, like a $60 paycheck. You know, what did you learn from that time that's really going to help you out with what's going on right now? Because, I mean, we're in an unfortunate situation right now. And it really, it kind of mimics what happened in 2008, especially within the sports industry. So what did you take away from then? And what are you doing now with that?
You know, and I agree, like, this is an unprecedented time. It really is really forcing a lot of us to kind of get out of our comfort zones and be prepared to not go back to the way life was before. So the things that I learned then were really set your pride to the side. Like, yeah, that maybe that was a job that was okay for me at 21, but if 6 months down the road, life has shifted so much, I will go back and do those jobs again, you know, not to feel like things are beneath you or below you, you know. There's always room to learn, you know, in everything that you do. Do any job to the best of your ability. You may never get a thank you. You may never get an award. You may never get that pat on the back. But if you perform every job, even if it is disgusting, if it's exhausting, if it's tiring, if you perform every job 100% in a way that you can go home and you can feel proud that you did the best that you can do, little by little, all those skills that you perfect, even in those menial jobs, are good building blocks and stepping stones to your next level. So you can take away from any job something that'll carry you to your next level at all times. And please, please, also learn from those older from you. They have a lot of experience. I'm sure you know a lot and you're capable of so many wonderful things. But there's people that have these experiences that you can't quantify, that are willing to share with you to make your road easier. So please, if someone's speaking, even if you've heard it before, if you know what you're doing, just at least take it in, hear them out. There's always little nuggets that can carry you when you're in a situation, when times are dark, when the phones aren't ringing, when you're worrying about what the next gig could be, what your next moves will be. You know, those are the times when those lessons that you probably brushed aside and put in your back pocket will be the most valuable to you.
Yeah, definitely. And the three things you mentioned right there, putting your pride to the side, learning and really taking things in, also maximizing each opportunity. It's interesting that with this pandemic going on, I mean, these three things are the most talked things in the sports industry always. But with what's going on, I think it's really snapping it back into reality and putting it on a pedestal to make sure people understand that. Now, you mentioned you have your own business, your consulting thing and like that. Please tell people about that and how you can help them.
Absolutely. So I have a company called Aris Select. This company kind of sprung out organically from what I had been doing for years. So this company, I coach and consult current and former athletes working in broadcasting on the entire business, how to speak on camera, how to dress, you know, how to perform interviews, the ins and outs of the business, who is a director, what is a producer, what you should expect in a production meeting, what you should expect in your career. I also get feedback. I watch tape, you know, I listen to recordings. I reply, I give notes right away. Also being knowledgeable in the sport helps. So when you can hear, you can hear if there's like a hesitation, you can hear where a talent or an athlete could have dug deeper, when they could have pulled back. And also, you know, kind of just how to find your voice as a broadcaster, because, you know, there's a lot of people that we all admire and we like their style and we like the things that they do. But the truth is, they're great because they are being them, you know, they've found their voice and they found their style and they've honed in on that. So although we can have people we admire and look up to in the business, you still have to be true to you. Anytime you go on air and you mimic someone else, it rings false, and the audience at home can see that and they can feel it, and it doesn't sit right on you. So that's another thing that I work on with my clients. Like, who are you on air? What is the kind of message that you're presenting outside of the stats, outside of the numbers, outside of the commentary? What else is it about you? Because the people at home want to hear from you. You know, you're the expert in your field. You're the star. So what is it about you that you bring to the table that makes your voice unique? And that actually, my company idea actually came from all the years of me working specifically as a stage manager in a studio for multiple studio shows for NBA TV, Inside the NBA on TNT, also College Game Day, all of these productions where I'm kind of the face. You know, I am the eyes and the ears of the director right there on set in the studio. And there have been a lot of times when someone has retired, and then maybe 2 weeks later after their retirement, we have them on our desk and they're working. And then if you think about it, this is their first time working in this environment, you know, like ever since they were children, you know, they've gone to practice, they've gone to games, they've gone to practice, they've gone to games. You have a coach, practice games coach. And now it's a whole new world. And it's interesting because you see them come in, like when you see them play their sports, they're confident, you know, they're the kings and queens of their domain. And then they come in this new environment and that confidence isn't there. And so being a face and a voice that they can trust, because I, you know, I am there basically running points in the studio for the show. You know, I give the cues, I make sure everyone is where they're supposed to be, everyone is well informed. The flow of information kind of comes through me. And so there is a kind of a shared experience where these athletes come to me for assurance, for guidance, for advice on how to do things, when to do things, what works best. And so doing that in kind of an unofficial capacity for so many years and kind of hearing, you know, the things that they felt like they needed for support, for being an on-camera, you know, personality, and taking all those things in and being like, well, you know, there's a real opportunity there to provide a service for these people. You know, most of the times we all get training, you start a new job, you have a training period. Mm-hmm. A lot of times these guys don't have training periods. They just get thrown in. So just being kind of like that bridge, that liaison to help them become successful in the next phase of their careers is why I started my company.
And that's important. I mean, I'm a former student athlete. And luckily, you know, I was a little more proactive with the internships and getting those experience. But I've seen a lot of my friends and peers, when they do get thrown into that environment, they don't know the ins and outs, like you were saying. They don't know the business etiquette. They don't know how they're supposed to act, what they're supposed to wear. So that's going to bring a lot of value to people in the long run. Now, with this whole pandemic going on, you know, what has been your goals, I guess? You know, is there certain things that you've been trying to accomplish, you've been trying to work on while we've been kind of stuck at home?
Well, you know, honestly, the first few weeks of the pandemic, it was such a disruption. It really took me a while to kind of find my footing and kind of pivot and try to understand what this new world is going to be like. I'm sure like everyone else, I was sitting at home just hoping to hear any glimmer of hope, like sports are coming back, games are coming back, we're gonna do this. And then I think it took a while for me to really kind of accept like, all right, things aren't coming back quickly. So you might have to change directions. And so really, like, personally, I have put all my focus really into my business. So it is starting to maybe write more, like include more of my thoughts on my blog page, you know, hoping that that'll be useful for other people who are in the same boat. Reaching out to people who I feel like could maybe use my resources a little bit, calling up those old contacts, going through old emails and stuff, circling back, following through, basically working in sales. Like, now I'm back working in sales, not my strong suit, but I got a lot of time to perfect that nowadays. So going back and then also like seeing, really like stretching myself flexibility wise. Like if the sports landscape has changed once we come out of this, what other things am I going to be able to do if things are different? So really doing a lot of soul searching. What are my other skills? I've done these things for so long. Is this a sign to change directions? Go into a different area in the industry? So all of those things are running through my mind. All those things I keep in mind when I make the when I, you know, kind of think about what the future looks like for me, myself, for my company, for other people, you know, best case scenario, I can gain a lot of clients. I can help out other people who I know do good work, and we can really grow these things. Worst case scenario, you know, we'll just have to get flexible and we'll have to try new things that we never knew we were going to have to try before. So it's exciting and it's daunting at the same time. And I just try to take it, you know, a day at a time, honestly. Like, it's so hard to plan for an uncertain future that all I can do is just one foot in front of the other.
I love that. And I hope everybody listening takes that into their own life, just because it's hard. Like you were saying, for me too, like the first couple of weeks, it's like, what the heck is going on? But yeah. I appreciate your time, Mickey. If for everybody listening, whether they want your help from your personal business or just want to reach out to you, where can they find you on the social media platforms and all across the board?
All right. Well, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram at Mickey Michelle A, MikiMichelle, the letter A. You can email me, miki@erisselect, and that is erisselect.com. Feel free to reach out, chat. We could talk sports. We could talk Beyonce. That's probably my other passion. I'm always ready for that. We could tell jokes. We can bide our time to the next installment of The Last Dance. That's always exciting. I love those conversations. So bring it on. And if anyone wants advice, if anyone needs to vent, I'm here. Use me. I'm a resource. I love to reach back. That's the only way we move up, is if we all work together as a community.
Exactly. It's that endless circulation of helping each other. One day the mentee becomes the mentor and it keeps going on this endless cycle. So everybody listening right now, that is how you get in touch with her. And if you're a hiring manager or an organization looking for your next star employee, or if you're looking for your first or next opportunity, please visit us at www.sportsisjob.com and we'll help you out. Because again, we want people to get found in the search and not lost.